Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, December 13th. Beautiful day in LA. And Rachel's not in today, but I'm joined by a couple of what promises to be real cool people, because I got to chat with them a couple minutes. So I'm joined by Elena Beuka and Dave Rogers. Welcome to the show, guys.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us.
You guys are going to have to wake up a little bit. The show the show has a little faster pace, but no, you'll fall into the groove. Thank you for joining me, guys. So you guys are a couple, right? You're married?
Yes, we are.
How long have you been married?
Almost 8 years now.
Eight?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So that's real love, huh?
Well, working together, making a movie, and still being married for 8 years, that's
real love.
That's an accomplishment, right?
Big exactly. time.
Wow.
Big
so you guys have been working together all along?
Correct. Yeah.
Since you met?
We started in acting classes, so we did scenes together. We're best friends for a couple of years, and then we
started
fell in
doing
love.
Shorts and short
yeah,
movies.
Shorts.
Yeah, nice. So you already knew you were sharing interests and stuff, right?
Yes.
You had a lot
yes.
in common.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, how cool is that? Where was this school you went to, the acting school that you, or was it an acting school?
Is
that
what you said? It was Ivana Chubbuck Studio. That's where Dave and I met.
That's in L.A. here?
It's in Los Angeles.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
She's a brilliant, brilliant acting coach, and we loved her. And that was 10 years ago.
In, wow, you're yeah. right. Yeah, 10 years ago.
Wow.
Time flies.
Yeah, I know. Watch out with your chair there. I think you're making noise in the mic. Just don't move it, or maybe move a little bit so it doesn't touch the table. There you go.
All right,
there you go. Because I was hearing like, at any rate, so Elena, where are you originally from? You have an accent.
Really? I didn't think no, I had
no.
an accent. Not at all.
I know. Well, I noticed them because I have one.
Yes, I do. I was born in Romania, in Transylvania. So, yeah, that's where family, that's where everybody is.
That's very
Romania.
Cool. Now, so you learned English there?
I learned English in high school, in school.
Right.
But, you know, it was just a little bit. I perfected it once I got to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I know.
At school, at the American Academy. That's what brought me here initially.
Oh, really? You went to an American Academy?
Yeah, I went there and I studied acting at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So that gave you a love for America?
Yes, it did.
How could you not love America? You know, everybody wants to come here, right, Dave?
Yes.
There you go. Dave, are you originally from L.A.?
No, I'm actually from New Jersey.
Oh.
Yeah, nothing as romantic as Transylvania.
Right, yeah, Transylvania, right? That's where Dracula is from.
Yes, indeed. It runs in the family.
But Romania is beautiful, I hear, right?
It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.
Very nice. Yeah. Have you been there?
I have a couple times. It's a beautiful landscape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, was that your first time in Europe?
No, actually, I traveled quite a bit when I was younger after college, and I've been back a few times here and there, traveling around.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you went to college. What did you take there?
Actually, it was child psychology and sociology.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I love that stuff. You know, I remember when I went to college, that's what I wanted to do. I ended up with business. I wanted to be a little more practical, but never mind that. So this is very cool. So let's introduce you. You guys are filmmakers, and you made a film, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And so is this your first film together?
It's our first feature film, yes.
Feature film. So you've made shorter films
We've done
before?
Short films before. We've done plays together. We've done webisodes, but never a feature film.
Right.
So this is our first one.
Right.
First one that I directed, first one that Dave wrote.
Wow. So that's a big deal, right? I mean, full feature is a big deal. It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. I don't think we were somewhat prepared, but not to the extent.
Yeah, we had no idea how much of a work it is. You know, doing shorts before is like, oh, you know, it's a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and that's it. Doing a feature, that's a whole different story.
Really? How long did it take you to make? The movie, by the way, is D-Love, right?
D-Love.
D-Love. And so So this is like the first feature that you made, and so you didn't know really how much work would be involved. How much work was involved? How long did it take?
From A to Z. Mm-hmm. I mean, we shot the film pretty fast, but what takes the longest is the post-production.
That's what I heard. Yes, yeah. Because that's where you put the film together, right?
That's where you put the film together.
Right.
The shooting itself was really fast. We shot everything in 12 days.
Really?
Yeah, in Los Angeles. And then there are parts of it that are shot in Romania, in Transylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
taking you back home, right?
Taking me back home.
So let me ask you this. Did you write the script or did you write? You said you wrote it, right?
I wrote it. It's based on a true story that happened to both of us. So we, you know, put the story together. And then, you know, Elena kind of made out an outline with bullet points. And then I followed that and wrote the dialogue to that.
Really?
Yeah, which was, what was interesting about that was the fact that we both had lived the experience, how you, you know, 3 years later, how you kind of remember things a little differently.
Right.
You know, sometimes, no, that happened first or that happened first. And then you figure out or one person's perspective. And since Elena was telling the story, I was kind of checking in with her how she wanted the format to go.
Yeah, so that was a collaboration from the beginning, obviously, right? Now, how did you get into writing scripts and things like this? I mean, you graduated in psychology, sociology, and how did you end up in film?
And you know, actually what's funny is after I graduated, I traveled Europe for about 7 years. And
7 years?
Yeah, worked.
Wow. Oh, and you worked as you were traveling?
Worked as I traveled, mostly in the restaurant business. I would come back into the States and work the summers here, taking teenagers across America for a teen tour company. And then I would spend the winters in the French Alps.
Life, huh?
So that was pretty cool for a while. Yeah. And then I felt like, all right, I got to get a real job, so I got to... a job on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, and I worked there for 9 years.
Wow. What's that like, man?
It was
a jungle, right?
Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun, though. I mean, it was really, the first few years were great, and then once you start making more money, the stress adds on, and, you know, it was tough.
Yeah, I can imagine. Wow.
And then after 9/11, I just was like, you know, I wanted something different, and I donated all my suits to Salvation Army and moved out here to be an actor.
Really? Yep. Now, did you make good money on the floor?
I was getting to the point, yeah. But it wasn't worth it. The stress wasn't worth it.
Really? So it's really stressful, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Why is it also because you play with other people's money?
Yeah.
You have to answer to them, right?
Well, you know, when you're winning their money, great. But once you're losing, then, you know, the tides are turned and it's
they
not
don't
so
like
much fun.
You.
No. You wake up with a stomach ache.
Yeah, right.
But you go to bed with one, too.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow.
So I came out here to be an actor and I met Elena in acting school. And, you know, then we just started doing projects together. So.
Where did the acting bug come from?
I've always wanted to be an actor when I was younger. And I, you know, did a couple high school plays, a couple things younger, but I just never really gave it a full try.
Right.
And then when I was there at the Stock Exchange, I really enjoyed that, but that's not what I wanted in life. So
yeah.
I always wanted this. And I moved out here, and at first I was never broker, but never happier.
Right. So that So and when how many years was that that you came in here?
I came out in 06.
Okay, so you've been here a while, 11 years. Cool. So you're an Angeleno now.
Yes.
Were you in L.A. before you came here?
I visited. One of my best friends, my childhood friend, lives out here. He's a musician. And so I came out here and lived with them for the first
year.
That's
cool. That helps, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's hard when you come to a place you don't know anybody. What about you? Did you come out here on your own?
I did not know one single soul.
Yeah,
like,
right?
No one.
But
I didn't know anyone.
And you came here alone, not with
alone.
Family or anything?
No. Everyone is back home in Romania. I worked in real estate, and I just graduated law. And just like Dave, I realized this is not really what I want. So, you know, I wanted to try something completely different.
Wow.
And what better way than just to go to Los Angeles?
That's
to
true,
try.
Right?
So, yes, I looked into acting schools and I found the American Academy. I applied for it. I flew here for the audition and they were crazy enough to say yes. So I decided to move to Los Angeles. But no, I did not know one single soul in America or Los Angeles.
So now, what was your childhood like in Romania? Do you have any siblings?
I do. There are four of us.
Oh, wow.
There are four of us, yeah. two boys and
where in the order are you?
I'm the youngest.
The youngest?
I'm the youngest out of
four. Oh, wow. Yeah. The one that's allowed to do anything, right?
To try it, yes. Indeed.
Nice. So so growing up in Romania...
during communism.
Yeah, right. What was that like? Do you remember it?
Oh, I mean, yes. You must have been pretty young. I was 10 years old when the communism fell.
Okay.
It was definitely a whole different world. You know, there were times when we did not have electricity in the nighttime, you know, after 8 o'clock.
Wow.
The electricity would go down. And I remember, you know, doing my homework at the candlelight.
Right.
I grew up on a farm, so it was a lot of work on the farm. So during the day, we did the farm work. And in the nighttime, you did the homeworks.
Right.
You know?
So you went from the cows to Hollywood pretty much, right?
Milking the cows.
Right.
The whole shebang.
Nothing in between.
Nothing in between. No.
So that
couldn't
was
be
cool.
More extremes.
Yeah.
I guess.
And so you went to school there and stuff. And so you took law?
I did.
You went to law school?
I went to law school in Bucharest.
Now, why did you pick that? Were there any lawyers in your family?
No, not at all. My dad is a preacher, actually.
Really?
There is no one in the family who has done acting or law or, you know, real estate or stuff like that.
So you went on a limb, right?
Yes.
You decided that's it.
That's it. Let me give it a try. And I thought, you know, at that time, as I said, I had a real estate company in Bucharest. And I thought, you know, the law combines really well with the real estate business. And I wanted to give it a try and see if being a lawyer or in Romania, being a notary was also a really good job.
Oh, really?
At that time. Yeah.
Ah.
I think it's one of the highest paid jobs.
Really?
Pretty much.
For notary?
What
do they do?
Everything.
Really?
Everything to do with real estate.
Ah.
And because real estate is such a, you know, it was so high after the real estate market was so high after the communism. There were a lot of foreigners who came to Bucharest, and it was just like, it was insane how much the real estate market has grown. So notaries, they do everything, the paperwork and the taxes and the, you know, their
sounds boring to me. I don't know. Right, Dave?
Why do you think I didn't say
yeah, I know.
It's like,
so different from acting, right?
That's not my world.
There is
no way I could be stuck in an office for
all
day long.
Because you're the creative type, you know? Did you always feel
paperwork.
That way, or did you feel you were actually going to make it in an office environment?
You know, I would say it's good to try it because I had no idea. I knew that I'm different, but I didn't know in what capacity.
Right.
I knew that I'm different. I knew that I don't want to be in the countryside.
Right.
Let's say this way.
Yeah. You had big ambitions.
I did have big ambitions, but I didn't know whether it's going to be in an office or on the creative side. So I wanted to try them all to see what fits me.
Yeah.
And thank God, acting and filmmaking fits much more than being in an office.
Yeah. Did you get support from your family for that decision?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that's
really cool. They're really awesome people, and they were very supportive of me with whatever I tried, because my dad knows if it doesn't fit, he knows I'll move on.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's right.
Yeah.
And the same for you, Dave, right? I mean, you're obviously a creative type and everything, so you obviously could not have lasted in an office environment that long.
No, I tried it. Didn't
work
out.
Yeah, didn't work, right?
Yeah.
I know. That's the thing with creatives, you know. You can't put them in a box, you know. You just got to, like, set them free, and whatever they do, you know. I mean, if they succeed, they succeed. If they don't, they don't. But you got to.
You
got to be who you are.
You got to give it a try.
Right.
I always say you got to give it a try because you never know. You never know what fits you. And, you know, this life is so much of a discovery in the end, you know, of who we are or what our purpose is and things like that. And, you know,
purpose
finds you.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you first came to LA, you went to that acting school?
Yes.
And after that, how did it work out for you? How did you start getting gigs and stuff?
Actually, when I first got out here, a friend of mine from acting class got me an audition for a rugby movie called Play On, and I nailed it. I got it, really? And it, yeah, and I was like, holy cow, this is easy.
Yeah, I guess if you're an actor, it's easy for you to be somebody else, right?
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is great, but it was exactly me. It was because I played rugby for about 15 years, and so it was a perfect part, you know.
So it wasn't new to you, the rugby thing.
No.
It's not like if I showed up for the part, I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah, go ahead.
And it was shot 3 weeks in Kansas City and 2 weeks in Scotland. And I was thinking, this is easy. What's everybody complaining about?
Like, yeah, right.
You know, but then I didn't have anything for like 3 years after that.
Right. But then you realize it's not that easy.
It's not that
easy.
No.
Yeah. What about for you? So how did you start getting gigs and parts and things like that?
You know, when I first started, I think I did not get a part like this.
No, huh?
No, not at all.
So you start small, pretty much.
I definitely started small with short films, with student projects, with a lot of projects that, you know, I auditioned around town. And it got to be very discouraging at times because every time I would go, they would say, oh, you have an accent.
It doesn't work.
So they definitely try to put you in a, you know, in a box, and you are just that person.
Exactly.
And there's no way they can see you as something else than you know,
right, the foreigner. I know,
that's it.
I know.
So I realized that, you know, I was going and auditioning for parts that most of the time was, you know, like you play the secretary, or you play the mistress, or you play things like that. And I got to a point where I knew that that doesn't interest me because it doesn't feel right, and it's not, they're like such small parts,
right.
But not to say anything against the small parts, but I just knew that I want something more.
Right.
I want to create more. Yeah. Roles that have a lot of meaning behind it,
right.
Versus
you didn't come to LA to be a secretary or a mistress of somebody in the movie.
No, not at all. And then slowly I got interested in directing. So that Dave and I did our first short film in 2009 for a film festival. And I'm thinking, how hard can it be to direct? You know,
right.
Dave, you're going to write it because you're good with words. I'm going to direct it. And guess what? We're both going to act in it. And it's a good part for both of us. It's not something superficial, and it has a lot of layers to it.
Yeah.
So
and we get short film filmmakers here, and they're always saying it's very difficult to squeeze a story into a short film, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and especially when you write it, I guess you're like, how do I tell the story in, what, 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah, I would say the biggest challenge is not overwriting and just trying to come up with that arc within, you know, 10 to 15 pages. But for us, as you were saying, you know, acting about auditions and getting jobs, we started our own group from acting class, started like doing our own projects because instead of waiting for the perfect part, well, let's start creating the perfect part.
Right.
So we'd start making shorts or other projects, and that's why we did the play together. But it was very interesting to learn that that arc within just a, you know, a short frame.
Right. And you know, that's amazing that you did you already figured out back then that you could do things yourself rather than wait for it to come to you, you know. Today everybody realizes it pretty much, you know, you got to start your own thing because there's not a lot of parts out there. There's not a lot of directors out there, or the need for that many directors and all that stuff. So what do? You create your own, right?
You create your own.
There
and
you go.
Yeah. And then in the end, you know, your perspective or your point of view is unique.
Right.
And, you know, you can tell the same story, but the way you would tell it is different than the way I would. So each one of us has its own sensibility.
That's true, because you experience it in a different way.
In a different way, yeah.
Wow, very interesting.
But back to the short thing that we did together.
Yes.
We thought, oh, how hard can it be?
You know,
it's like easy breezy. Oh, my God. I think that was the test for us as a couple, whether we'll survive or not.
Really? The first one.
Yeah.
The first one. Yeah.
They say when you go through stress and stuff, it really tests the relationship, right?
Yeah, and you're also dependent upon each other within that, creating that short. So at the end of that festival, we weren't really sure. We were like,
we'll survive or not.
It was a good test.
It was an intense process because we had 168 hours to make a short, basically.
Right.
And, you know, we had no sleep, pretty much.
And
we pretty much had to do all the jobs, kind of.
Yeah.
So, now let me ask you, but you did have to hire some people, right, to help you with the filming and all that stuff, the photography.
For that short, yes,
right.
We did. Definitely.
Right.
We had a cinematographer, but the crew was so small. Maybe we had like four people or so.
Yeah, yeah. What are you doing it on the shoestring when you start, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you got to figure out how to.
You got to be inventive.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if that shoestring got much longer. But,
That's very cool. What was the name of the film?
Love Echoes.
Love Echoes.
Love Echoes.
Oh, wow.
We filmed it in Echo Park.
Oh, in New York.
Here, in Echo Park.
That's right.
Right near Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
And, we just kind of, we love that name Echo, so we're just...
And had to do with taco trucks.
Yeah.
And stuff before they were
really?
A big thing back then, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the story?
I don't remember how, like...
You know, actually, they gave us a verse.
Oh, right.
Remember?
So this project, you explain it.
No, you go ahead.
So the project is 168. You have 168 hours to from start to finish. But before you do that on, I think it's a Tuesday or a Wednesday, you pick up a rock, and on the other side of the rock is a Bible verse, and you have to write something to do with
about
that Bible
verse.
Right.
Ah.
So if, let's say if it's Tuesday night, you pick the verse. On Friday, you have 2.5 days to write it. On Friday at noon, you start shooting, and it has to be handed in on Friday at noon the following week.
Really?
So you would pretty much spend that weekend shooting. You know, Monday up to Monday, Tuesday, and then do the post from Tuesday on.
Yeah.
Right? That's pretty much how we did it.
Right, yeah.
So you have 2 days, a day and a half, really, just to write, what is it, 11 minutes long, the short?
I think it was 11.
Yeah.
11 minutes or so.
So, you know, you write 10 pages, and you come up with an idea, but again, like, I was way overwriting, especially the first time.
Yeah, right.
And it was just learning what to cut.
Right, right. That's what I figured, you know, because, I mean, you're trying to tell a story that usually would get told in 2 hours, and you do it in 15 minutes. So how did did you start going to the film festivals, the festivals, right?
The festivals,
right.
Yeah. You know, with that first project, we were like, oh my God, this is so intense and crazy. I don't think we'll do it again.
Yeah.
But guess what? The next year we did it again.
Really?
And then the next year we did it again. And we loved the fact that, you know, it challenged you to create something, you know. And before you knew it, we realized we actually like this. I like to direct, Dave likes to write.
Right.
And before you knew it, we were more interested in the directing aspect, and Dave the writing one.
Right.
Right. So when we were focusing on this movie, D-Love, we were thinking of getting some names to be in there, and we're going to focus, I would focus completely on the writing, Elena would focus on the directing. But as we got closer to it, again, based on a true story, the person who plays the vagabond that we meet at the airport, who asks us for a ride east, he was in town, or actually coming through town, correct? And then we were able to, once he decided that Elena was going to get him on board, then the two of us said, well, then let's do it. Let's all do it, acting-wise.
Wow. Very cool.
Right.
So now you obviously for this film you had to get a bigger crew, right?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And so I mean, how did you end up really? So you made a few short films and everything. Did you get some recognition in the festivals and stuff?
With the short films?
Yes.
You know, we've never actually gone to any other festivals except the one that we started with,
oh,
the 168 festival.
Right. So how do you distribute the short films? I mean, who gets to see them?
You know, now I think it's different. Now I think you get to see it. I think there is a whole different platform for it. I think they even have them on Amazon Prime and things like that. Back then, which was almost 10 years ago, it was mostly you do them for, you know, if you want to have a calling card, basically.
Right, right.
And you want to show your work or, you know, go to different festivals. But for us, was more of... an exercise.
Right.
I think it was more of an exercise to see.
Preparing you to this.
Preparing us for the future. Yeah.
Right.
We wanted to see what we're made of. We wanted to see, okay, what can we come up with in such a short time? And you never really know what you are made of until you're put under pressure.
Right.
And filmmaking is a lot of
pressure
all the time.
Now, how did you gain your directing skills? I mean, you know, you were an actress before. You discovered you would like directing, and you said, how difficult can it be? I'm sure it's not easy.
It's not easy. I think is because Dave and I have an acting background, and we started in acting. I have a pretty good idea on what I like to get from an actor. So, and they say, directing is 90% casting.
Oh, really?
Casting the right people.
Yeah.
So once you get to cast the right people that you know that you they're good and they can play, it's easier to adjust them versus casting someone who has no experience, doesn't know what they're doing, and they don't understand the character.
Right, and they don't fit the part or anything.
They don't fit the part.
Yeah, I know. And that happens a lot, you know. And it's just like hiring people for any business, you know. I mean, you want to hire somebody with experience who know what the hell they're doing.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So how did you go about finding the crew and stuff? Is that, do you just go
in? Over the years, I established... You kind of know the people that you like to work with and the people that you don't want to be around.
Right.
Or who don't fit the part or they don't have a good working ethic.
Right.
Yeah. So for us, I knew a couple of the people already. And then we hired a line producer who helped us, you know, budget everything and put the stuff together. And we still kept it very small, our crew. Right. Not as small as for the short, definitely. But it was small comparing to the big feature films that you see out there.
Right.
Because the story itself is a very intimate story. So it didn't require to have, you know, 50 people on a set at all times. It was, you know, 15 to 20 people pretty much.
Oh, well, that's still big though. I mean, you know.
Yes.
Compared to a short film that you just do on a shoestring, you know.
Definitely.
So very cool. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Elena Beuka and Dave Rogers. So you guys live in LA now, right?
Yes.
And okay, so let's get into D-Love and find out what the movie is about. So okay, let me bring up the page here because I got the release on this and everything. Winner of 10 consecutive film festival.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. Yes, we've been to 12 festivals. And we're very fortunate to win 10 of them.
Wow. Wow, how cool is that? Over how long a period?
We started in June of this year. So June 3rd, I think it was the premiere at Dances with Films in Los Angeles.
Right.
And we stopped them in November. So it was, what, 5 months?
Yeah.
5 months?
Yeah.
About 5 months.
Yeah,
all these festivals.
Nice. And so you get some recognition for your work. That's cool, right?
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the film. How did the film come about for you? The story, the idea, how did that... This says it's based on a true story?
Yes, it
really
is.
Really?
Yes.
So let's hear. This is taking place in Romania and, right? Transylvania.
No, it actually takes place in Los Angeles.
Oh, it does.
And what inspired the story is a couple of years ago, my husband and I were coming back from Europe. And it was, you know, one of those rough days when the plane was delayed. They lost our luggage. They lost...
It was awful.
Really?
Yeah, I lost my phone.
God.
It took about 33 hours to get back, where it normally takes like 20 hours.
Oh, my God.
And when we got here, they did not have our car. Like, they lost our car.
Back then, there was no Uber or Lyft, so we had to park our car at the airport. You know, there were all those parking structures and stuff like that. So when we get back to Los Angeles, they say, oh, sorry, we don't have your car. Like, what are you talking about?
That's how the trip's ending. It was like, oh,
it was just like, how could that be possible? So I'm dealing with all that madness. And in the middle of LAX chaos, this young man Dietlov stops me and he's like, hey, are you going east? I'm like, what? He's like, or I was wondering if you go east and if you can take me with you. I'm like, where do you need to go? And he's like, you know, I need to go to 10 or 110 freeway. Uh-huh. I'm like, you know, there are two different freeways. Where exactly do you need to go? He's like, oh, I'm going to go to Utah. And I was all confused. I'm like, okay, is someone picking you up from the freeway? And where exactly on the freeway do you have to go? So just give me some details. He's like, oh, I'm going to hitchhike to Utah.
Really?
And in the meantime, Dave comes outside and I told him, he's like, listen, you deal with this kid. Because, you know, I looked at him and he looked homeless to me.
Really?
You know, his clothes are all dirty and he looked like he hasn't washed them in forever.
Right.
And
nobody looks or talks to him or anything.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, and in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, there are so many people. Couldn't you bother somebody else?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Like, I have real...
I'm going to take a homeless in my car now.
Exactly. Yeah. I have... Or I don't have a car.
Yeah, right.
And so I handed it to Dave and I said, Dave, you deal with him so I can find out where is our car. Let's find our car, because I was terrified that they lost it or something. So I finally figure out where the car is. There was a misunderstanding and blah, 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 blah. And then when I turn around and I see Dave with this homeless kid, they were like looking like they were best friends.
Really?
I'm like, what?
Wow.
So when, you know, the shuttle is about to pick us up and I said, Dave, what do you want to do with this kid? And he said, do you really want to know my opinion? I'm like, yes, that's why I'm asking. He's like, I think we should take him with us, give him something to eat, and maybe even let him stay with us for a night or so.
Oh my God.
She's
like totally
shocked. You know, I'm okay with give him something to eat, you know, but the rest of it...
I'm not bringing him home.
I'm not bringing him home, you know.
But, I knew once she actually talked to him, once everything settled down, like after getting something to eat, that she would see what I was seeing, which was,
a human being.
Yeah.
Human being, exactly. Wow. A beautiful soul. And he was right. Once we got to a restaurant and we got something to eat, I realized... Wow, what a beautiful soul. You know, there are people who have that childlike personality and or not personality, childlike wonder, I guess, of things. And this kid, you know, traveled the world. He just didn't have too many worries because he thought, you know, when I need something, it's going to come. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful way of living. It's a little crazy to live like
right.
that. But,
except it doesn't work.
It doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah, positive thinking is not enough, you know. But okay, go on.
But, you know, so when Dave said, I think we could, you know, let him stay with us for a night or so, in real life, I was okay with that. Because really, it's hard to describe, but the kid had such a... a beautiful aura about him that it was just almost impossible not to like him, you know. But so we ended up taking him home and he stayed with us for almost 5 days, like four nights and 5 days.
Now that's the real side.
That's the real story.
Yeah.
Obviously, in the movie we wrote it a little different, so the stakes were a little higher. More disconnect between the couple.
Right.
Like, more disconnect about, you know, this random person staying with you.
Right. Which is more logical. I mean, you guys are just nice people, you know. Most people would probably have a problem with
you
that.
You know, as you and I talked earlier about, like all that traveling I did, what I saw in him was a little different. And I knew that, you know, he just needed, you know, a warm meal and a place to stay one night. What's the big deal?
That's true. What's the big deal?
And plus, you use your intuition.
Right.
And I think Dave is very good and with intuition, both of us. Are good and you feel when they're
right.
good people or they're like dangerous.
But also,
people,
obviously, you're going to be careful bringing a stranger in your home with your family. I mean, obviously, safety reasons. But I felt that once we helped him out a little bit, and if he was a little kooky, then we just take him to the bus station.
Right.
Get him something to eat and bring him to the bus station.
So, in the film, do you describe is the character pretty much like him? Is it pretty close?
It's dead on, right?
Dead on. Well, yes, but it's different in a way. Because
but his character, I mean, is dead.
Yeah, his character.
What other stuff that happens around it is different.
Yeah. He, I would say in the film, we try to capture just the pureness. Is he the real guy as pure as the one that we showed in the film? Right. No one can be as pure because we're human beings and right. we all have flaws and stuff like that. But for the film's sake, we chose to show a more angel-esque uh-huh. part of a human being.
Right.
And how he, that guy can actually change the perspective of this couple. Because like Dave said, we had to heighten the stakes and make a story because no one would want to watch if it's all good and dandy and right. it's like, oh, you met him, took him home, take care of him, and blah, 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 the end.
Right. There's got to be some conflict.
And there was a lot of conflict because my character, she's just like nowhere. She doesn't want to have to do anything with him. And plus, they are so at odds with each other in the film. And
The couple.
And right. they're like, you know, on the brink of almost getting divorced because of unresolved issues and things that have gone in their lives.
Right.
So they're two flawed people with a lot of baggage. And now this person comes in the middle and it could literally break them apart or bring them together. So, yeah.
Now, and who played the part of the kid in the movie?
We had the real kid play himself.
Really?
So the real vagabond plays himself.
Wow.
Yeah. He's never acted before, but...
So how did you decide you'd be able to use him? I mean,
you know, again, using my instinct, I knew that he would be the perfect choice for this. At the beginning, we're playing with the idea of casting a real actor, not to say that he's not real, but an experienced actor.
Right.
But I couldn't think of anyone that would fit that part.
Right.
So that's when Dave and I talked and we said, you know what? I think he would be the best choice for this character because he has a certain kindness and a certain pureness that is hard to encapture from someone who's just acting.
Yeah.
Whereas I want it to be as real as possible.
And that's when we decided to keep it the close, you know, the real, as close to the realness as possible, which, you know, at this point, okay, let's do the acting because we were thinking of getting it, you know, getting names in there, but it was like, this is our story. Let's, you know, let's portray our story.
Right. And it's a very interesting one of that, you know, I mean,
yeah.
How many people have done that and he changed his life forever?
Yes.
Right. And he probably changed your lives in a certain way too.
You know, I think in the end, we're all changing each other's lives somehow. You know, he definitely awakened something in me enough to make me want to make a film years later after our encounter, you know. And then making the film itself, it changed my life because this film is about, you know, people who want to examine their lives and people who really are not afraid to look into their own lives,
right.
or, you know, they're open to miracles, although we're sometimes so, you know, close-minded to it because we're so guarded.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's a chain of change somehow, you know?
Yeah. And so very interesting. Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you, after he was at your home for 5 days, what happened then? Did you lose contact with him? No, right? I mean, so you stayed in touch with him the whole time?
We did, but it was tough because he didn't have any way to get a hold of.
Right, like no phone.
He didn't have a phone or
address,
he didn't. Yeah. But it was very interesting because he would, like Elena said, he was traveling and he was going down to Utah, then he was going up through California up into Canada. And he would just borrow people's laptops and email us, you know, every 2 weeks or randomly.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And that's how he would communicate.
Very cool.
So,
a few years later, you tell him, okay, come be in our movie,
in
right?
In the meantime, he opened a Facebook account, so he has a Facebook account. So,
yeah. What was his background? How did he end up homeless like that? Just because he had wishful thinking and didn't do anything? Or what happened there?
Well, when he went to high school, he did I believe a semester in America. I think it was in Salt Lake City, Utah. He did a semester there as an exchange student. And then when he went back home in Copenhagen, he graduated high school. And after that, I think just by coming here, he really wanted to see the world. He wanted to travel. So he lived out of a backpack for 5 years. He traveled all over. I mean, India, he's been...
Yeah.
So he's a traveler like you.
He's a traveler. Maybe that's why they connected.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I focused a lot in Eastern Europe or just Europe itself, whereas he went, like, he hit everything. I was couldn't believe all the places he went when I looked at his passport. It was incredible.
Really?
Yeah.
When he met us, he just came back from Peru.
Right.
And then he was going to go to Nicaragua.
How did he get the money to fly and survive?
See? That's the interesting
part. So we want to see that in the movie?
Yes, okay, you'll see it in the movie.
So we're not going to give away everything. I mean, people want to see this. Now, if people want to see it, I saw you had a showing December 8th, but that's behind us now.
It's tomorrow.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
It's screening now, actually.
It's screening right now at Lemley in North Hollywood. There are four showings a day, and the last showing is going to be tomorrow night.
Very nice. That's not too far from here.
No. Yeah. It's all day long from, you know, 1:50 showing, 4:30, 7:10. And
9:50.
And actually, tomorrow night we have like a special event because the Romanian consulate is organizing a special screening for us. At
really?
Lendley.
Yeah.
So please come.
The Romanian connection, you see? There you go.
Yeah.
Very nice. So if you guys live in L.A., you definitely should go and check it out. I mean, it sounds like a fascinating film. Probably a lot of emotion and things like that. And now that I met you, I'd like to see you in the movie. Now, so in the movie, are you guys the couple?
Yes.
Okay, so you're the couple. And...
yes,
but you change the story.
We change the story. It's a fictionalized version of ours.
Right. Definitely. Are the characters different from you or are they similar to you?
Mine, very different than I am. My character, she is very, very guarded. Mm. She's very closed off. She's
rigid.
I guess that's the word. I would say she's just damaged. You know, and sometimes when we're damaged, we put these walls.
Right.
And her walls are definitely... high up there.
Whereas my character is more damaged as well, broken, but just more kind of broken down in an open way. Just, you know, not so much guarded, just kind of...
Yeah, obviously, I mean, if you let the man into your house and stuff, you're a lot more trusting and, you know, and wow, that's very interesting that you guys were able to do that.
Yeah, we wanted, as Dave said, you know, at the beginning, we wanted to hire name actors for the part. But when I reach out to Dietlov and I ask him to be in the film, we knew that he would not be comfortable, you know, because as pure and as beautiful as he is, acting is hard. And it's hard to act with people that you don't know.
Right.
So that's when Dave and I said, okay, we have to step up and play these characters because he knows us and he would be able to be comfortable and be able to capture that pureness and the genuineness that it was so important to me to capture in the film.
Right.
So.
And besides, you guys, I mean, you're actors, you know, why wouldn't you be in the film? You know what I'm saying?
I guess it was, it was meant to be.
Yeah.
It was meant to be. I think we were more nervous about, you know, first time writing, first time directing, first time producing, first time everything else.
Yeah, it was a lot of first times, you know, and when I told my friends and the people that I was working with that I'm going to cast the real guy, they're like, it's crazy. That's like suicide for a first time director to hire someone who doesn't know how to act. It could be very dangerous thing. But in my heart, I knew that he's the right person for the job.
What a fascinating story, man. I'm telling you. Very cool. So the movie is Dietlov. Is that a play on his name, Dietlov?
Yes, that's his name?
And he's from Denmark, you said, right?
Yeah, Copenhagen. Dietloven.
His name is Dietloven Dharmakaya Reinor Alexander Yorth. So
every time you introduce him to someone, it's just easier just to say, this is Dietlov.
Yeah, right? Wow, that's very cool. So... okay, well, now we know what the meaning of Dietlov is, right?
He came up with it.
Really?
He came up with it and is like, okay, your name is Dietlov. We were cracking up. It's like,
and he runs with it, right?
We ran with it.
Awesome. Well, Dietlov, You can see it at the Lemley. What other ways, if someone's not in LA, I mean, are you guys trying to get it online and streaming and everything? Is there still any money in DVDs at all to produce a DVD for the movie?
Yes, definitely it's going to get on DVD, not just yet. We wanted to have it released in the theater first in Los Angeles, and now we're going to work into having it internationally.
Right.
So hopefully open it in Romania and Denmark and Europe and the rest of the... And hopefully it's going to come back to Los Angeles, you know, and the other parts of the country soon.
Right.
Yeah.
And visit the Oscars, maybe.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
there
indeed.
You go.
Amen to that.
Yeah,
amen.
Well, you were able to win awards, so why not, you know?
Exactly.
You probably, it's not a problem. So this would be considered a drama, right?
It's a drama with comedy. It's a dramedy, I would say. Mm. It has a lot of comedy to it.
Oh,
you wouldn't
good.
Expect it, but yes, David's a brilliant writer.
It is on the drama side, but, you know, we really try to give it some levity with some humor in between to, you know, show some of the extremes of a rigid, you know,
right.
person dealing with something like that. And
so humor always works, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like gives you a relief. Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't want to just watch sad, sad, sad all the way through.
Yeah.
It's draining.
Or drama.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, so. We try to make it as raw and as real. And I think... You know, Dave is really good at writing humor, but humor comes out of desperate situations.
Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes, you know, so definitely there are some desperate behavior that create the humor in the film.
Yeah. Awesome. Sure. Well, you know, definitely, you definitely have a message with the film. And obviously, you know what you're doing, you know, and that's a good thing, you know. Elena Beuca, right? I'll get it right.
Beuca. Yes.
Elena Beuca and Dave Rogers.
Rogers.
Not as hard to say, isn't it? I should change.
How much more American can you get?
Yeah. No, but don't change your name. It's unique, you know. There's not another person with your full name, maybe. So maybe there is. I don't know.
Just
is
in my family. In my family, when Dave comes to Romania, everyone is like, oh, another Beuca. Everyone is related somehow.
That's
where
funny.
I grew up, not everywhere in the country, but where I grew up.
Is that a common name in Romania?
No. You know, I think it's more common in our region, but not necessarily in Romania.
I
haven't met anyone with my name outside of family.
Right.
Really.
Right. And were your family okay with you marrying an American, a foreigner, as far as you're concerned?
they didn't really have a choice. No.
I have to sleep with the cows.
There you go.
They were very okay. Dave was able to charm them. So, yeah, they were very okay with the Rogers to come into
our guys,
family.
Well, guys, great story. So look for the movie D-Love. And if you're in LA, obviously you get to see it. Otherwise, we'll wait a little bit and maybe see it streaming on Netflix or
hopefully
Amazon or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Congratulations to you on the film.
Thank you.
On the success you've had with it so far. And we wish you much continued success. Now, where can people find you if they want to contact you, social media, whatever?
We are everywhere on Facebook. It's D-Love, D-Love. On Instagram is D-Love the Movie. Same with Twitter, D-Love the Movie. On our website, dlovethemovie.com. So everywhere, follow up with us, please. We would love to hear from you.
There you go. And you might as well just Google D-Love, probably find you
pretty
everywhere,
much.
Right? Yeah.
And we would love, if you have stories that, you know, that happened to you close to our situation, we would love to hear your stories. Please share them with us.
Yeah.
When we did the festival circuit, it was fascinating to see how many people we met who would say, oh my God, that happened to me.
Really?
Oh my God, whatever. I met someone like that, or I met this kind of person.
Yeah.
So that, you know, changed my life, or I changed his.
Right.
It's amazing what kindness does.
Yeah,
to people,
that's
to
true.
The
well,
heart.
Those are good news, you know. And quickly, what's next for you guys? Any future projects you want to talk about?
We have a lot of projects.
Okay.
We have a lot of projects. For me,
so
what I would like to direct next would be a romantic comedy.
Oh, okay.
But hopefully that will happen, you know,
Good. Well, come back when you do.
Well, absolutely.
All right. You guys are a lot of fun. Yeah, go ahead.
And for Dave, what's next?
Oh, I'm working on 3 scripts right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you guys are busy.
Yes.
Okay, we don't have to worry about you then. You guys are all set and ready to go. Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us this
morning.
Thank
you for having us.
Of course, you're a lot of fun. Everybody, check out the film. And, well, you guys are welcome back anytime.
Appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you for having us.
Of course.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.